In these strategies where you use a FLT3 inhibitor as maintenance, how long do you use it for? And are there any sort of quality life toxicities beyond cytopenias?
It's a great question. We don't know the answer in relapsed refractory patients. I, again, was involved in the first in human phase 1 study. I was the lead investigator of that for gilteritinib. I still have a patient who's on gilteritinib maintenance 4.5 years out from her transplant. She's never relapsed.
Wow.
She feels fine on the drug. She has other transplant complications, but not gilteritinib complications.
Hmm.
Her platelet count's 120, and I don't know whether that's the gilteritinib or just post-transplant. But she, you know, is transfusion independent. She has some chronic graft versus host disease. She's otherwise living life and doing well. I have no idea whether I should stop the drug. We have no data to say that we are at a point where we can and can't. It would be nice to use MRD assessments to say that we can use that to decide that, but we actually don't have those data yet. There's a frontline study that is ongoing that the Bone Marrow Transplant Clinical Trials Network is running, and I'm an investigator on, that is comparing gilteritinib versus placebo in first remission, which is a really different population. And again, many of those patients can be cured with transplant alone, and adding gilteritinib after transplant to, again, half the patients on the study. Actually, it's a blinded study, so we don't know the outcome on this yet. And we hope to have that answer within a few years, but we don't have anything off of that study. That study will use extensive use of MRD assessments prior to transplant, after transplant, to track FLT3 mutation burden and see, can we say who are the patients who are going to relapse and pick them out early? And that study gives 2 years of maintenance. The sorafenib study also gave 2 years of maintenance, and there were relapses after the 2 years. So we don't know what the right answer is there. And I think probably the right answer is, until we know better, if you're going to give maintenance, at present, do it on a study. If you can't get your patient on the study, sorafenib does have some support for it. I mean, I do that in patients I can't get on study. I give it for 2 years. We don't have data longer than that. We don't know the right answer, and we need to do the study to figure that out.
Again, you know, oncologists think about sorafenib and putting somebody on it for 2 years, you know, in terms of quality life issues.
It's a hard drug to take.
Again, what about gilteritinib? Same thing, or in terms of, again,
well, there's only so much I can say about an ongoing study that's blinded, so I can't really say the patients I have on that study who are taking gilteritinib because I don't know who they are. But that tells you something important. If I can't tell who they are, then that's a good therapy.
Yes,
because you want a blinded study where you really can't tell who's who. And that's the nice thing with gilteritinib. There might be some laboratory hints as to who's who in terms of some ancillary things we see with gilteritinib. It bumps LFTs a little bit, usually not a lot. It bumps LDH a little bit, usually not a lot. It bumps CK a little bit, usually not a lot. And that's rarely a reason to stop the drug. But what we can say is that in patients that I've treated on the study, they've done well and their quality of life post-transplant isn't anything other than what we might expect. I do not see that experience with sorafenib, where about half the patients I've tried to give this drug to post-transplant just simply can't tolerate it. And so that's my concern for the German data is I love the outcome that it improves survival, but it's a hard road to get to that payoff. And many patients just can't tolerate it.